Investing Simplified is brought to you by Chuck Price, President and Wealth Manager of Price Financial Group Wealth Management Incorporated, a registered investment advisor firm and author of Investing Simplified, the book. Individual situations will vary, and the information on this show should only be relied upon when coordinated with individual professional advice. Other parties present on this broadcast are not affiliated with Price Financial Group Wealth Management Incorporated. Investing Simplified is the longest-running live financial show in America, with a financial advisor, an estate planning attorney, and a CPA to answer your questions for free, and is broadcast live from Portland, Oregon on affiliated stations throughout the Pacific Northwest. Chuck can be contacted by visiting www.pfgwm.com. You can email Chuck with a question at askchuck@pfgwm.com. Or you can call him right now at 503-417-9595. That's 503-417-9595. Or for our long distance and podcast listeners, you can call toll free at 877-733-1011. That's 877-733-1011. Now, here's the host of Investing Simplified, Chuck Price.
Well, good morning, Portland, Oregon. This is Kevin Stege, CPA with Baker & Colson, CPA firm out in Gresham, and I am manning the board today, except we do have our fearless leader with us, just not in studio. Chuck, are you with us online?
Absolutely, and you're doing a great job handling the Starship.
Hey, well, thanks. I got through that first sentence all right, didn't I?
Absolutely.
Well, how are things with you? I understand you're getting a little time away on Father's Day weekend with the family. I suppose you've got barbecues and golf and beach sunshine and sand in your future.
Well, I got the beach and the sand, but no golf this weekend. This is going to be grandpa time with grandkids.
Ah, very good, very good. Well, good to have you on the line, and we want to remind our listeners to give us a call with your tax or investment questions. Carl Jepsen is taking a well-deserved week off. I'm sure he's with family here on Father's Day and receiving all the accolades and benefits of his years of being a father. So 503-417-9595 or 877-733-1011. We welcome your calls, investment advice or tax advice today. That's our topics. And Chuck, I see we've got a pretty exciting day in college baseball on tap. Both the Beavers and I believe Washington also, don't they play today?
Absolutely.
Also,
absolutely. Huskies are in the College World Series.
That's right.
First time ever.
That's right. Pretty exciting. Both, you look at the eight teams that are in there, it's all roughly Texas or Southeast that are always there, and then you've got Oregon State and Washington, so we're certainly rooting for our Northwest teams this weekend.
Well, you know, Kevin, in a perfect scenario, the Beavers and the Huskies will play for the championship. That would be so sweet, wouldn't it?
It would, and it could work with one of them losing. Well, one of them has to lose because they're in the same bracket, but then they move to the other bracket, and they could the loser could come up through, and that would be a pretty pretty exciting championship series.
Well, I got to say, I got to give it to the Beavers, because the Beavers have the tradition and have the success pattern, and they know how to win, and they know how to win this tournament. So I think the edge certainly goes to the Beavers.
Well, I think a lot of prognosticators are thinking the same thing, but boy, you look at last year and how they were, everything was in line, having only lost six games last year, but then anything can happen in baseball. It's a great game.
Well, I got to tell you, I was very excited last night. We were driving in, and we're out in the Hitherlands, and we lost the reception of the Mariner game. They were down 6-4 when I lost reception. Then I found out, I finally got my phone on online and found out they won the game 7-6. So the Seattle Mariners this year have an unbelievable record of winning one-run games. they just seem to be able to consistently win them. And they beat the Red Sox last night.
Yep, they sure do. Absolutely.
Yeah. Well, hey, you know, Kevin, before we get some calls, and hopefully we do want to wish all the fathers a happy Father's Day weekend. And I know most of us are going to enjoy it with our family and stuff, and that's great. And there's some people who can't be with their families, and we certainly wish them a happy Father's Day as well. I had an email come in the other day, and I didn't get a chance to talk to you about it, but a gentleman called in. I told him we would discuss it on the air today, so I'm going to kind of throw you a curveball. But his parents are elderly, and they got hit by identity theft. And he was calling asking some ideas on what he needs to do. Because he's of course responsible for his parents, but they got hit with identity theft. Now, I've talked on the show numerous times. I personally purchased LifeLock years ago, and I have to tell you, it's saved me on three or four occasions. And I just got hit the other day. Even though I have LifeLock, I got hit by somebody using one of my credit cards somewhere in the United Kingdom. Now, fortunately, because I had LifeLock and my credit card doesn't have a balance, I didn't have a problem because somebody was trying to charge on it and they stopped it. But for people who don't have those services, I got to tell you, in the world of technology today, when I called the bank and I ran this down, they were telling me that what happens is there's people that have mathematical systems, computers on their computer, and they start randomly running numbers. And when they hit a number that's a real number that they see they can get a charge on, then they start running charges on that card. So what the bank guy was telling me, it's a random thing, and they can pick any number. Not necessarily did somebody have to steal your card or get your name and your number. They can actually run the numbers and run them through on different pay systems trying to get charges on it. So identity theft is getting very crafty, very technology-wise, and I think people have to be aware that they have to protect themselves.
Yeah, absolutely. They sure do. And, you know, this dovetails in with a bit of information I have on my segment, which we will let's continue this conversation, Chuck, because I have a few things to say. But let's jump real quick to a caller, Mark from Portland. You have a text question. Is that correct?
Yes, I do, Kevin. My mother passed away about 2 months ago, and she left our residence in the trust to my two brothers and I. It's called a QPRT, personal qualified personal residential trust.
Yes.
In 1998, she took out the trust. Basically, she signed the house over to my brothers and I in 98, so she lived there rent-free for the last, 17, 18 years. My question is, at the time of the trust switching over in 98, the house was worth $208,000. We're going to sell it for $600,000. What is my tax liability between that, the $400,000?
I see what you... Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, well, I personally don't like those QPRT trusts, because she's basically given the house to the kids.
Correct.
And so they inherited the house at that $200,000 price. Now the kids own the house. The kids are going to sell the house. The kids didn't live in the house, so they get no exemption. So everything they sell the house for is capital gain.
Everything.
Well, everything over the cost basis that you given the house back.
Okay. And then in her HOA agreement last year, they did a big upgrade, and she spent $64,000. I can't write that off?
That should add into the basis, I would think, if basically she spent money for the trust, that would be like contributing it to the trust and the trust spending it and helping increase the basis. That would make sense there.
Yeah, but
I would think any upgrades would be cost basis. Absolutely. Okay.
Now, I spoke to your neighbor out there in Gresham who's representing me, a fellow named Aaron. He tells me that some of this stuff, it's a three-way split. And since it's my brothers and I, so I don't have to pay a third of these taxes?
You would have to. Basically, the trust is the one that's going to be selling it. The trust is going to report the capital gain,
right.
It should pass the capital gain out to each of you according to your percentage.
Okay. All right. I appreciate your time.
Yeah, if it's the last year of the trust, you definitely want someone to take a look at that tax return to make sure it's done right. Sometimes the trust can pay the tax, but when it comes to capital gain, capital gains in the trust isn't as bad as ordinary income in the trust. But in this case, it's best to get the capital gains passed out to you guys and put it on your personal 1040s. Most likely is going to be the best scenario.
Now, the Oregon capital gain, is it 10%?
It's considered the same as ordinary income. It's basically 9%, possibly 9.9% if you're in a high tax bracket.
I'm not in a high tax bracket. I'm in a 14.
Okay. You may even be subject to a little bit of 0% at the federal level if it comes out right.
It's under, the federal level is what, 5.43 million?
Well, that's the estate, the federal estate tax.
The estate was 4 million.
Okay, interesting. You've got an interesting scenario here because,
Kevin?
Yeah.
The QPRT wouldn't be included in the estate.
That's what I was...
He's right.
That was given out to the kids, so that has nothing to do with the estate tax.
That's exactly why she did that, because at the beginning, I think, I was explained to by the lawyer, the reason she did that at the time, the federal level was like $3 million, so she was trying to keep her estate under the $3 million, so we wouldn't get into that bracket.
Mm-hmm.
Correct?
That's correct. In lieu of income tax savings and step up in basis when she dies on this house, you took advantage of estate tax savings. And normally I would say that's at these current levels not necessary, but clearly it was because you had a larger estate.
Yeah. And the neighbor I mentioned is doing a very fine job for me. I went into Chuck's office to see him. Chuck was in his, therapy. And I hope he's doing better. And he gave me a very nice recommendation to the people in Gresham.
Oh, yes. You mean Carl, our estate.
Excuse me, Carl. I'm sorry.
Yes. Yeah. Absolutely.
I hope he's doing well.
I think he's doing just fine. Yep. I think
good,
so.
Good. Absolutely. All right. Well, I appreciate your help. Thank you.
Very good question, Mark. That is good stuff. That's some good planning. You've got that's what this show is about, is questions like that. There's some devil in the details in these ones here. So we're going to take our first break, and we'll be right back. We'll continue the conversation. Lee will get to your phone call, and we'll talk a little bit more about identity theft. You're listening to Investing Simplified.
Hello, this is Kevin Stege, shareholder with Baker & Colson Certified Public Accountants, serving the Portland and Southwest Washington areas for almost 40 years. We are a full-service accounting and consulting firm offering our services to a wide range of business and individual clients. One of the largest expenses to a household or a business is its tax burden. While off-the-shelf tax products can help file simple returns, they can't know your plans for the future and not only provide insight and planning to help you get there, but actually help you along the way. There are just some things that can't be replaced by experience. Whether you are just beginning your working career or have a well-established business with many employees, rely on the professionals at Baker & Colson to help in an efficient, accurate, and personalized manner. We're located at 2414 Northeast Division in Gresham and can be reached at our website at bakercolson.com or 503-666-5569. That's bakercolson.com, 503-666-5569. And remember, at Baker & Colson, our service is the product our clients remember most.
Do you have a tax question? Here's your opportunity to ask Kevin Stege, CPA and shareholder of the Baker Coulson CPA firm, that tax question that's been keeping you up at night. You can call Kevin 503-417-9595 or toll free at 877-733-1011. Now, here's the CPA with the tax answers, Kevin Stege.
Welcome back to Investing Simplified, and we appreciate that call from Mark. That's what makes this show run. We have another caller, Lee from Portland. Lee, are you there?
I am. Thanks for taking the call.
Absolutely. How can we help you?
Well, first I wanted to mention I work in retail, so your topic, I have heard story after story after story from people who have had their credit card numbers or credit identity stolen, so that's a great topic for your listeners, so thanks for that.
Mm-hmm.
The specific question is, I've mentioned in the past, I'm the executor on my dad's estate, and my brother, who helps me out, had a question on IRA required minimum distributions. Dad is 89, and I understand you have until April 15th of the following year, for example, the distribution for 2018 wouldn't need to be made until 2019. But so there's the first part of the question. Is that true? Second part is, in the unfortunate event that Dad, who is in poor health, passed away, say the first day of 2019, would a required RMD need to be made? And it would it be the same amount as if Dad would have lived the entire year?
Very good questions. So if he passed away 1/1/19, an RMD is required to be taken out for him. And he was alive during 2019. So for 2019, the applicable required minimum distribution does need to be made. Usually, I find with my estates and trust, by the time the executor steps in and gets the affairs in order, you know, most people don't die on 1/1 and you have a full 365 days. You know, potentially there's a December death. And an RMD maybe got missed. So I find there's a lot of leeway, if you will. As soon as you know an RMD needs to be made, make that RMD, get it caught up, distribute it from the IRA. So that's that answers the second part of your question. The first part of your question is, when you inherit...
Can I interrupt for a second?
Yeah,
go ahead. That would be the exact same RMD amount as if he would have lived until December 1st of that year.
That's right, because it's calculated on December. The RMD is calculated for 2019 based on the IRA value of 12/31/2018.
Got it.
Yep.
Okay.
And then once you inherit the IRA, now you have RMD rules for your share. And that doesn't need to be done until December 31st of the year following the year of death. So it would be 12/31 of 2020 that you would need to take begin taking your RMDs based on your life expectancy, if that's how you did it. So a lot of times people liquidate the IRAs if they're small, depending on their tax situation, or there's deductions in the estate that they can utilize. So there's a number of planning opportunities here, but in general, you have a long time to address that, and I think they know that paperwork takes some time, and so there's some leeway there.
Okay. Thanks again very much, Chuck. Enjoy your visit to the coast, and thanks, you guys.
Absolutely.
You know, Kevin, one of the things we tell our clients, and we've talked about it on the show before, if you have a large IRA, it is very, very important that you set your beneficiaries up correctly so that the beneficiaries have the opportunity to stretch the IRA out mm-hmm. when they receive it, so they don't have to take it all out and pay the taxes, because it could make a big difference on your income tax return, particularly if you got dumped an extra $300,000, $400,000.
Yep. That's exactly right. Setting IRA beneficiaries is really a key part of your estate tax plan and how you want that to work.
Well, Kevin, I want to kind of get back to the question. If one of your clients came into you and his 90-year-old parents that he's responsible for all of a sudden had identity theft, what is the first steps you would recommend?
Well, from the tax perspective, and I know there's many different circles that you need to look at. From the tax perspective, typically we have the client, once we identify that there has been identity theft, there's a form you can fill out with the IRS that lets them know right away that there has been identity theft. And it's a pretty great form, actually. There's two options on it. One is where you check a box that says, yes, I am a victim of identity theft. It has happened. And then the second box is, I potentially am the victim of identity theft based on potential, you know, various things that could happen. Maybe your e-file return got rejected and you're not sure why, and it says a dependent was claimed or previously used. That may be identity theft. It could be an error on somebody's part on a different return. So anyway, this I believe it's a 14039, form 14039. File that with the IRS. If you check that first box and it says, yes, I am a victim of identity theft, typically from that point on, they're for a year or two, they're going to send you correspondence by mail only to your address of record that is going to give you a PIN number, one PIN number per taxpayer. So the husband would have one, the wife would have one, and you would need to use that PIN number to e-file your taxes. So it's been a pretty successful program. I would say I've done maybe a dozen 14039s forms, and there have not been problems. Once we filed those and have received the PINs, there hasn't been additional tax identity theft issues. So that's the first place I would start for tax purposes. What are you running into, Chuck, on your end of things? I know you are a proponent of LifeLock. There's been a number of identity thefts in large institutions. The state of Oregon had a database compromise, you know, a number of these places. I have like double or triple coverage because when my information has been compromised, like through the Oregon Employment Department, they offered protection for at least a couple of years on programs similar to LifeLock. Another bank had one protection there. It's just like I have it all over the place. I don't know if it's doing me any good, but I don't seem to be having any troubles with identity theft. But those seem to be helpful organizations.
Well, I think really for the price now, I think LifeLock now has a thing like it's like $10 a month, and you really for $10 a month, that's pretty cheap insurance to make sure your identity is protected and your cards are protected because it is a very rapid thing. I mean, I hear people all the time that have been getting hit with identity theft.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think you just have to protect yourself. And sometimes you got to bite the bullet and pay money on. But I know there's also a site, and I think it's at Empyrean, where you can go on and find you and I've talked about this before because you can go on there and check if you're on the dark web.
Oh, that's right. Yep.
Yeah, and I remember you were telling me when you and I were talking about it, you were telling me that you went on there and checked to see if you were on the dark web.
Mm-hmm.
To see if, you know, you have any problem. I did too, and fortunately I was not.
Mm-hmm.
But that still doesn't stop you from getting hit.
That's right. Have you run into any situations where your clients or people you're associated with have suffered significant financial loss from identity theft, or have most, you know, when there's a credit card fraud, I really see the credit card companies stepping up and making the client or the person whole. When there's a tax,
you know, I haven't. Oh. Okay, go ahead. go ahead.
Oh, I was going to say, and when there's a tax refund situation, if it's done correctly, typically the taxpayer is not on the hook if somebody has stolen, you know, got a bad refund under the taxpayer's name.
Yeah, I haven't seen anybody lose substantial money of late because of the technology of the bank stopping the card and notifying you now on charges that look unfamiliar to them.
Mm-hmm.
They're all really pretty darn good on this right now. I know there were some horror stories a few years ago where I remember a lady on TV from, I think she's from Portland or Beaverton. Anyway, they ran up hundreds of thousands of dollars on her. And identity theft at that time was a real problem, and this is maybe, you know, 8-10 years ago. But I think it's so much better now from the protection of the banks, way better than it was even 2 years ago.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So I think they've all really taken this, and that, you know, I just wish the federal government, and I know people may not like to hear this, but I think the federal government had to have a federal law: if you steal somebody's identity, it's a mandatory 25 years in prison, no bail, no pardons. You're going to prison for 25 years. And if particularly if the identity theft is more than $10,000, you're going to jail for 25 years. If they started doing that and started actually putting some people in jail, I'll tell you what, it would change the opinion of people who may want to go try to steal, you know, $10,000 or $20,000 and say, really, do I want to steal that for 25 years?
Yep, your point is well taken. 25 years is pretty steep, but the point being, people know, and we all see it, if some of these people are caught, there is not much penalty for doing this. I can think of a situation where a couple thousand dollars, you know, was pilfered from somebody. And it wasn't even investigated, but you know, the couple thousand dollars was pretty significant to that person. And so it's anyway, it's unfortunately there's so much of it out there. Only the big cases can get looked into.
Yeah, you are ruining a person's credit, and you're ruining their lives in a lot of cases. If you take a couple of $1,000 from them, it can be devastating to them financially.
Yeah, you know, I saw a story about on the business side of things with credit cards. One of the things that's in place is this credit card companies do what they called chargebacks. And that's where when a business gets paid for selling a product or something and the product comes damaged but they don't refund it, the agreements that the credit card company has with the business is the credit card company gets to charge back the business on those things until they're properly disputed and they're not paid. And I just saw a massive fraud case related to chargebacks where an unscrupulous person got in and was running false chargebacks. And I think, we're seeing that like with Amazon, people ordering stuff and saying it's broken and getting refunded, but then keeping the product. So that's kind of, you're seeing a lot of that type of stuff anymore. So.
Well, what people don't realize is when people do stuff like that and people shoplift, all of us, all the consumers end up paying for that because the retailer isn't going to eat that. They're going to turn that around and charge back to people who are actually buying their products. And we're going to all end up paying for it.
Yep, that's exactly right. Well, Chuck, let's go to our next break, and we'll come back in a minute or two and continue on with Investing Simplified. We welcome your calls, 503-417-9595, 877-733-1011. We have a couple lines open. You're listening to Investing Simplified.
Price Financial Group, wealth management. Simplified.
Hello, my name is Carl Jepson, estate planning attorney and co-host of the long-running radio talk show, Investing Simplified. My law practice emphasizes estate planning and probate. My mission statement is practical estate planning for peace of mind. This means that I listen carefully to my clients. I explain the various estate planning techniques and documents in the most understandable terms that I can. I try to make sure that my clients are comfortable with what we are doing together before proceeding, and I discuss my fees up front so that clients don't get any unwanted surprise. Estate planning and probate don't have to be that complicated. My experienced staff and I work closely with our clients to guide them through both of these matters in the simplest and most efficient manner possible. My office is located in the White Office Building at 555 Southeast 99th Avenue, Suite 101, right across the street from Mall 205. My telephone number is 971-229-0585, and my website is carljepsonlaw.com.
Got a legal question? Coming up is Carl Jepsen, estate planning attorney, with Carl's comments. You can call Carl now at 503-417-9595 or toll free at 877-733-1011. Now, here's Carl Jepsen.
Well, this is Kevin Stege, CPA with Baker & Coulson, and Carl's taking the week off. We will hear from him next week, hopefully. Chuck, before we get into our next segment, which is a little bit of a change of topic, let's go back to our old topic. We have a caller, Mike from Milwaukee, has some comments or a question on identity theft. Mike, are you there?
Yes, I am. Thank you.
Good morning.
My bank pays, this is an interest rate question, which is a little bit off base, but I do have a identity theft. My interest rate at the bank is 0.05. That means that it's not even a penny on the dollar, correct?
Chuck?
What? I'm sorry.
Oh, okay. Yes, a point zero five. So not even 1%, half a penny. You're correct.
Yep.
Okay. That's it. So how many dollars do I have to put in the bank before I get one penny in interest?
That's some pretty hefty math for Saturday morning before 9 a.m.
Well, here's the thing. At a half a point, you'd have to have $200 to get $1. So
okay.
You're lucky. If your bank's paying you a half a point, you're getting about 2.5 times better than most people, because most banks right now on savings are paying 0.20.
Two tenths of a percent. 0.2%. So my bank
that is correct.
My bank at 0.05 is half of a penny.
Yeah, you're getting 2.5 times better than the average bank. That's pretty good.
Is yours isn't 0.05%, is it?
The percentage rate is 0.05. That's what they're paying on my checking account. 0.05.
Yeah, it's a half a percent.
Okay, thank you. About the identity theft and no punishment. Years ago, I worked with a fellow who cashed phony business checks for 2 years, and he got caught because his girlfriend turned him in. His punishment for 2 years was 2 weeks in jail.
Oh, boy. Do you know how much roughly the dollar amount was that he had been pilfering total?
Oh, I don't know, but yeah. I would say $300 or $400 per week. And yeah. That's a guess. That's really a guess.
Yeah, that sure adds up, doesn't it?
And the fact that there was no punishment, so he just continued to do it again as soon as he had an opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So Chuck is right. If they put people in jail, Jesus, I would cut their hand off. Do you steal somebody's... One of the guys at the post office, he had $7,000 stolen from him, and then he was overdrawn at the bank, so he had to pay the bank fee.
So we do have some financial loss occurring from residual collateral damage on the identity theft.
Yeah, of course. And it's not punished, which is very unfortunate.
Yeah.
But all right, fellas, thank you for answering my question.
Absolutely, Mike. Thank you for calling. And I think that's what we're kind of hearing, 25 years of prison, cutting people's hands off. I think there's a lot of frustration out there from the amount of theft and the lack of any sort of punishment or deterrent in our criminal justice system.
Well, every one of us have seen people on TV. I can remember there was a young man in Portland, and he had been arrested like 20 or 30 times stealing cars. You know, back in the old, in the West, if you stole somebody's horse, they hung you.
Mm-hmm.
So they didn't have any repeat offenders. The point is, if you don't make the crime punishable by something where people fear breaking the law, Mike is exactly right. They will continue to go out and break the law. It's, you know, one of the reasons why we have so much thievery going on and doing things like this is because there is no penalty. The law, you know, the police are so busy. If they went after everybody that did small amounts of dollars, they'd have no time to do anything, and that's one of the problems. They had no time to do the rest of the law enforcement that they need to do. And I, for one, think if you steal somebody's car, you ought to be in prison at least 5 years. No parole, no nothing. And same thing with if you get into somebody's checkbook or you use somebody's identity, if it's under 10 grand, you ought to have to serve 5 years. If it's over 10 grand, you ought to serve 25. If they started doing that, we could clean this thing up in no time. We really could. And I know people say, well, crime doesn't, you know, a penalty doesn't worry anybody. It doesn't worry anybody because nobody spends any time in jail.
Mm-hmm. Yep, that's for sure. Well, let's change topics here a little bit, Chuck. And I know this is something that's up your bailiwick a fair amount. This is a survey that was done on 2,000 people who had to get into their retirement accounts early. And these were the reasons that they had to make their withdrawals. And I'm going to start, there's basically about four main reasons that they came up with. I'm going to start with number two, three, and four, and we'll come back to the number one reason. But let's start with number four, actually. Roughly 3% of people that had to raid their retirement account, and I'm assuming this is going to be an IRA or a 401k or other employer retirement plan, higher education expenses. About 3% of these 2,000 folks took out early retirement distributions, had to pay, I'm assuming, the 10% penalty plus income taxes, and they used it for higher education expenses. Well, fortunately, higher education is going to be one of those items where you can probably get out of the 10% penalty if it was from an IRA, not a 401k, but an IRA. So that's potentially an okay thing, I would say. One of the reasons that you could raid your retirement account, and this is probably acceptable, I would say, for general tax planning purposes, although it'd be nice to look at other ways first. Number three on the list is to purchase a home, and about 10% of people did that. And I would say this is probably also acceptable. Up to $10,000 can come out of an IRA and avoid that 10% penalty. You still have income taxes to pay on it. But I'm going to say only if this is structured correctly. I've seen people take $250,000 out of a 401k and they bring me the 1099 on April 1st of the following year to do their taxes. It's just brutal, the tax hit they weren't expecting. I don't know how you don't expect that, but it can be devastating. It can... you know, it's nice to get into a nice house, but that's a lot of money to pay a lot of taxes on if that's what you did. So higher education and home purchase expenses are fairly acceptable, wouldn't you say, Chuck? Not maybe the best, but an okay thing?
Yeah, absolutely, to buy a home. But again, like the example you gave about the $250,000, if that puts somebody in a 40% bracket, They're going to have to pay $100,000 back in taxes.
That's right.
So they had better, you'd better plan for that. If it's a substantial amount of money, you better do some tax planning. Talk to somebody like Kevin, a CPA, somebody who does taxes, who can tell you the end result of what you're doing. And if you shouldn't need it in that big a hurry, but if you do, talk to a tax professional first. Absolutely.
Yeah. So those first two reasons are optional reasons. Usually it's something you're planning or something you choose to do. These next reasons typically are not, except for our last one. So at 20%, 20% of the folks who took out early distributions from their retirement accounts used it to pay for medical expenses or health care. So that's, you know, and that's usually an unexpected thing that comes up. Most people don't plan on breaking an arm or getting in a car accident. That can happen. There is a little exception to be able to get out of some of the 10% penalty, but it is so obtuse. It's such a, basically it says you get to exclude from income any amount of your medical expense that exceeds 10% of your adjusted gross income. So in other words, if you put it on your Schedule A and it exceeded 10% and you got a deduction, then you can exclude that. But boy, that's a pretty narrow window of people that helps. The next category is just about the exact same 20%. This is to people took out early retirement to pay for financial emergencies, such as a job loss. And again, this is an involuntary thing, I would say. However, and I know you'll agree with this, Chuck, you really should try to plan to have 6 months of an emergency fund set up beforehand, so that
Absolutely.
You don't have to tap into these things. Because these aren't that's not going to be free from the 10% penalty. So you could be looking at significant taxes you have to pay, and when you're looking at job loss or something, that's a tough thing to come up with. And go ahead.
No, you're absolutely right, Kevin. You know, one of the biggest things I see with people that are even that are working, and I get couples come in, and we're looking at, I had a couple come in last Saturday after the show I met with them, or not last, the one before. Anyway, was going over financial stuff. They came in because their parents are clients, and I sit down with them and I told them the first thing they got to do is they got to establish a savings account where they have, you know, 6 months of expenses and money that they need. Even though the bank only pays 20 basis points, back to that, you know, pennies on the dollar,
mm-hmm.
but again, having that money available, that keeps you from having to dip into your retirement account. It keeps you from dipping into other things or having to go out and do a loan to pay debt. If you have a nest egg there, you got to have some cash available to take care of those emergencies.
Yep, that's exactly right. Well, Chuck, let's go to our last break, and we'll continue this conversation when we come out the other side. You're listening to Investing Simplified, 503-417-9595 or 877-733-1011. We'll be right back.
Price Financial Group, Wealth Management. We do Investing Simplified.
Are you concerned about your retirement income? Do you really understand how your Social Security benefits work? Price Financial Group Wealth Management has helped many seniors in Oregon and Washington maximize their Social Security benefits at retirement through using their Social Security seminar on demand. Now you can watch this valuable information in the comfort of your home by just going to www.pfgwm.com and click on the free Social Security kit. If you are serious about your retirement planning, you cannot afford to miss this opportunity. After all, you have invested your hard-earned dollars into Social Security all your working years. So shouldn't you get the maximum return you can get from those dollars? The future can be scary, and without a plan, it can be even scarier, especially when facing the unknown. What you don't know can hurt you. Get your free Social Security kit at pfgwm.com or call 503-253-3000.
Investments, tax questions, or legal concerns? Get them all answered now for free. Call Chuck, Kevin, or Carl for your answers. Call 503-417-9595 or toll free at 877-733-1011. Now, here's the Knowledge Trust.
Welcome back to Investing Simplified, and if you have a question, now's the time to call. Once we get too late in the show, we won't have time to thoroughly answer your question. 503-417-9595, 877-733-1011. 1011. And, you know, Chuck, regarding this emergency fund, I just ran kind of a brief calculation in my head how much that should be at a minimum. And I know everyone's situation is different. People have different expenses, homes, jobs, that type of a thing. But in general, $1,500, let's start with a mortgage or a rent payment, $1,500 per month should be able to get you something livable. Maybe with you did a refi under good rates. Let's just assume $1,500. Utilities, minimum $300, maximum $500, $600 a month, but we'll go $300 because you can cut the cable out and a bunch of that other junk that you don't need. A car, we'll assume you're still making an auto payment. You have insurance and gas and auto. Let's maybe go $500 a month on that. Maybe your car's paid for, which would be a better thing to do if you're not a big fan of car payments unless you got a really good rate. And let's go $300 a month per person for food. You add all that up, that's just your basic living. You can survive on that. You can survive very well. You're talking $3,000 a month. Let's bump that up to maybe $4,000 a month. We're talking about $25,000 that you should sock away in savings that you can really protect yourself and have that available for when things come up and avoid those big tax hits or unnecessary things that can cause you trouble.
Well, you know, Kevin, you're absolutely correct. We tell our clients if they're working, we tell them they want to have somewhere between $20,000 and $30,000,
okay,
in cash available, so they don't have to touch anything else if they have an emergency or they lose a job or they get injured and they can't work. Many times people have short-term care coverage at work disability, but you still need to be able to pay all your other bills and stuff. So we tell people you've got to have at least $20,000 to $30,000 in that range just sitting there available to you if you need it. And then you can put your other dollars to work, but at least have that so it does not that you don't have to pay to get it.
That's exactly right.
Get your hands on it. You know, Kevin, I was going to say, I do want to mention, I have been offering some free books to people, and I can tell you, every week they're coming up getting them because we've been offering books provided you read the book, and if you read it, after you read it, you give it to somebody who cares and wants to read it too.
Mm-hmm.
But you've got to be able to do that. And so I still have those four books available. One of them is the Top 10 IRA Secrets. Also, my two books, Investing Simplified and Your Retirement Made Simple. And you don't have to schedule an appointment. You just come in and get them. And I actually had a lady a few weeks ago come in and got five of them, of all the books, five each. She got it for her grandkids. And she said, I'm going to make sure my grandkids read this so they have a basic understanding about investing and actually planning for their future. And we talk about, you know, having a nest egg in there, having some cash back up.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm still giving those books available. If you want them, all you got to do is call my office and stop by and pick them up. And you don't have to schedule an appointment. Nobody's going to hound you. It's strictly giving you knowledge, because I think one of the biggest problems is most people, because schools don't teach it, they don't teach basic financial planning.
Yep.
And they should.
Yep.
Really good.
It would be a great skill to have, and it would serve our society very well. And you're located pretty easily. I think a lot of people, when I describe the building, they know exactly which one it is, Mall 205 area, the Colonial Building. And
that's correct. And we like to call it the Price Financial Group Building.
I see.
And so it's very easy to find. Right, we're just north of the mall, and we're right to the east of Elmer's Restaurant, which also has a very good breakfast or lunch if you need to go there to eat. So if you had a big parking lot, our parking lot's right connected with them. There's plenty of parking. You can stop in, pick up those free books, and not be under any obligation.
Very good. Well, I wanted to finish off the number one reason why people have tapped into their retirement accounts early. And this has some validity, but mostly not. 44% of these 2,000 people that were surveyed tapped into their retirement account early to pay off debt and or bills. And I know, and you know, most of that debt and most of those bills, for the most part, weren't necessary. Usually it's living beyond your means, that type of a thing. So we'll play hardball and say what it is. I know there are things that happen, but you know, the 21% to pay for a financial emergency, that should cover the unexpected things that you didn't know were coming. This is just debt and bills, and that's usually living outside your means. And that's an expensive way to live, and you can't get ahead of the game if you're doing that.
No, and it's a fool's game. I do know I have some clients who are business owners who did that. They did it to survive their business when we were having really bad economical times. And fortunately, they were able to pay off their bills, and they were able to start then making money in their company. And they immediately put together a retirement account so they could bury money and try to make up for what they did spend. But it's awful tough to do that unless you're in an ability to make a very high income from it. Mm-hmm. So most people, it's a loser's game.
Yep, that's exactly right. So, you know, one option that is available to some people is borrowing from your 401k at work. That's typically borrowing from your own account, and when you make payments back with interest, you're paying your own retirement account back. That can be a good way to go. It can also be devastating if you know, you lose your job and that becomes fully taxable, that amount that was distributed to you. So you have to be very careful using a loan on your 401k.
Yeah, there's been a lot of people who had to leave that 401k at their old 401k when they left, because to leave, they have to take the tax hit on that loan, or they have to pay the loan off.
That's exactly right. Pay it back.
And that's what they get. A lot of people have come to me, and I say, you got a loan on a 401k. You got to get that paid off.
Yeah,
that's got to be a priority, because you're just throwing good money away by having that loan on your 401k.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Well, Chuck, we're getting near the end of our hour here. I thought I would throw out there real quick to our listeners for a future show. We would love to have you call in. This is the tax perspective. What changes have you or your employer or your company made in 2018 because of the tax law changes? Have you had to renegotiate contracts? Have you, you know, changed things with your employees? Are you hiring more? Are you, you know, what have you? Call in and let us know. I'd like to hear what things are happening out there. We are seeing a lot of changes on our end from our cross-section of businesses. So I think that would be very interesting to hear what our listeners have to say on that for a future.
You know, Kevin, that is excellent. That is a really excellent point. One of the things that I'm seeing more and more, and I bet you are too, is my clients are realizing, because of the tax break, particularly clients in their 60s to 70s, we're doing a lot of Roth conversions because of the tax break. I got to tell you, I hope taxes do go down more. But my logic's telling me that at some point, taxes are going to go back up. Mm-hmm. Because government doesn't know how to spend money. They just keep spending it like crazy. So I think taxes right now, there's a unique opportunity that you can do a Roth conversion over the next couple of years because of the lower taxes.
Mm-hmm.
And I think taxes are going much higher in the future.
We do have a window here that we should take advantage of, absolutely. Well, Chuck, I think that brings us close to the end of our show. How is someone to get a hold of you, your website and your phone number?
Right. Our website is pfgwm.com. That stands for Price Financial Group Wealth Management.com. And we're located at 555 Southeast 99th Avenue, Suite 103. in the big white colonial building right next to Elmer's restaurant. And please check out my website. We're redoing our website, and I got to tell you, over the next 30 days, I think you're going to see some major, major improvements on our website. We're offering some other programs where people can go in there and do like a five-minute solution on seeing where you're at financially, and I think it's going to be a really good thing for people who don't want to sit down with an advisor, but they want to look at something and get a basic understanding. So we're trying to add a lot of things like that to our site to actually help people.
Excellent. Thank you very much. And people can reach Carl Jepson at 971-229-0585. And I can be found at baker-colson.com, 503-666-5569. Chuck, enjoy your Father's Day, and happy Father's Day to everyone out there.
You can listen to past shows of Investing Simplified or sign up for our free newsletter at www.pfgwm.com. This show was brought to you by Price Financial Group Wealth Management Incorporated, a registered investment advisor firm located at 555 Southeast 99th Avenue, Suite 103, Portland, Oregon, 97216, 503-253-3000 or 877-50-PRICE. Investing Simplified is a registered trademark owned by Price Financial Group Wealth Management Incorporated.
Price Financial Group Wealth Management.
Navigating through today's financial investment world can seem pretty scary. Now, here's the good news. Chuck Price, president of Price Financial Group Wealth Management, introduces a new revolutionary concept that will change how you invest now and in the future. It's called Asset Lock. Asset Lock monitors your investment accounts 24/7, 365 and alerts you when action needs to be taken. And now, Chuck Price offers Asset Lock. At Price Financial Group Wealth Management, we believe all our clients deserve to have Asset Lock monitoring their accounts. So call Chuck today or online at pfgwm.com and learn how you can get Asset Lock on your accounts today for free. Price Financial Group Wealth Management, because the smart investor knows what you don't know can hurt you.
Investing Simplified.
Call 503-253-3000. That's 503-253-3000.